The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley. Later on in the show, Nader Manua will be here to talk about what it was like to be on the pitch when Kun Aguero scored that late goal for Manchester City in the week that, of course, it was announced he'll be leaving the club. We'll start, though, by welcoming Jan Arge Fjortoff and Frank Leboeuf to the show to discuss the big news coming out of Europe is that Robert Lewandowski will be out for at least 4 weeks, and he's going to miss some key ties as well for Bayer Leverkusen. The big top of the table clash against Leipzig this weekend, and then both legs against PSG in the Champions League. Just a reminder how things look at the top of the German standings going in to the this week's games. Munich are 4 points clear of Leipzig. Jan, obviously a massive blow for Bayern Munich.
And a massive blow for Robert Lewandowski, wanted to beat that record of 40 goals of Gerd Müller. Having said that, I think that Bayern Munich will try to look for alternatives. You can't replace a player who's not possible to replace. But still, I think they will have different options. They could put Thomas Müller in as a false number nine, or they can put Gnabry in as a striker, doing it out with Koeman, Sané, mix in there sometime. Or they could put, like I think Hansi Flick maybe will do it against PSG in the semi-final, he can put Choupo-Moutang in just in those kind of games and hope that the story makes itself. Wow. But it's a big, big blow for Robert Lewandowski, and it's of course a big blow for Bayern Munich now coming up, as you said, Dan, the big one against RB Leipzig.
From Lewandowski to Choupo-Moutang.
Well, Choupo-Moutang's a striker.
Yeah, he's not the player of the year.
So, you know, at the end of the day, if he's ever going to get some game time, and listen, he's had some big moves, surprisingly, I would say, you know, going from Stoke City to PSG and then from PSG to Bayern Munich. So I would imagine Thomas Müller would be... Listen, Thomas Müller's played that position many times as a natural number. He doesn't play that regular now. Obviously, his game has changed somewhat from a young Robert Müller, but he can do that. Listen, 35 goals in the Bundesliga is quite incredible again. Five in the Champions League already, looking to break records. But here's the deal. Injuries are part of the game. Mm. You know, PSG have had to do it without Neymar. It's been well documented in his time at PSG in some of the big flagship moments. Tottenham got to a Champions League final without Harry Kane. And then, you know, Pochettino stupidly played him in the final when he wasn't fit. But teams have had to go without their top players. And I have... Listen, I don't want to see any player injured. But it's an occupational hazard, and I don't really have any sympathy. I mean, if they beat Leipzig away from home this weekend, without them, it'll be 7 points. And it'll pretty much be done and dusted. Pretty much. So the opportunity is there, but... I don't want to see any player injured. There's a Euros coming up in the summer. Lots of big games. But it's an occupational hazard. And I, you know, it's a bit like when Man City, with this great big squad, pick up injuries. Not much sympathy. Don't have any sympathy for Bayern here. Get on with it. Handle it. Rotate your squad.
What does this mean for the title race in Germany, in your opinion?
You talk to Jan after all those sounds. It means, I mean, you can see the funny part. I agree with Craig. That is a part of the game. Also that Bayern Munich haven't put in another striker who is top class. But having said that, it's hard to go in as a striker to Bayern Munich because you know that Robert Lewandowski will play all the time. Now he's injured. The funny part of it is that they tried against Stuttgart to play with 10 men. Remember when Davies was sent off? Mm. Then they just scored goals for fun. Now they take out their best player, most efficient player, the guy who scored the goals, and it's a top game. And as you said, they hope to get through on Saturday. For us neutral, I hope RB Leipzig will win the game because I think it's good for German football that there will be competition. Also, the last 8 games. But Robert Lewandowski is also a very, very fit player. He's very well trained. And I wouldn't be surprised if he get back a bit earlier than four weeks. Let's just hope so for the sake of Robert Lewandowski.
He will be out, though, as I mentioned, for both legs against PSG in the Champions League. The bookies, of course, have Bayern as favourites, 3-4 on. Meanwhile, PSG are evens. Frank Leboeuf, how much of a game changer is this from a PSG perspective?
Well, it's always a plus when you know that you're not going to face maybe the best striker in the world for the two legs, and it gives you maybe a little bit of another grade of confidence. And I'm pretty sure that Paris Saint-Germain defenders will be more than happy to not face Robert Lewandowski. But however, they're going to have to face another player, and it would be funny and with a little bit more respect if Choupo-Moting can play those games and score a goal against Paris Saint-Germain. Don't forget that Choupo-Moting scored a very important goal in the final eight. And helps a lot Paris Saint-Germain to go to the final. So you don't have to deny anybody. You don't have to be disrespectful to anybody. It's of course a plus for Paris Saint-Germain. But having said that, you know, when you have Müller or Gnabry or maybe Sané at front, it's another task. It's a difficult one, and Paris Saint-Germain will have to respect everybody. I want to remind you that Portugal became champion of Europe without Ronaldo, and maybe because he went out, maybe they stuck together and they worked very hard to make sure they win against France. I want to remind you, and Craig just said it, that Neymar didn't play the last two legs of the Champions League against Barcelona, and Paris Saint-Germain had a wonderful game away from home. So nothing is written, everything is possible. Paris Saint-Germain get something out of it if they are 100% tuned in. Otherwise, if they think they're gonna win because Lewandowski is not there anymore, they're gonna be out.
And he picked it up against the old dreaded international against Andorra.
Well, yeah, if you're Bayern Munich, you're annoyed.
Listen, I've seen it with club managers when you go away. Not just me, but all the players, different clubs have played that. And you know, I've seen international managers, their reaction. Somebody has to put the phone call in to Hansi Flick or to Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. It's not a great phone call, that. Oh, your best player got injured against Andorra. Yeah. You know, old Andorra. But listen, you know, it's a test for Hansi Flick. You know, and he's come through all these, everything that's been asked of him so far with flying colours. He's been hugely successful in his, 18 months or so at the helm. But listen, Man City sit atop the Premier League by a country mile at the moment, and have done it all season pretty much without a striker. They are the favourites on paper, for along with Bayern, for the Champions League. And the argument would be that if Bayern and City met tomorrow, they could probably play without a striker. Let's see what Bayern can do in that front. Let's see what Hansi Flick chooses to do. Let's see how it affects the tempo to their game. But there's no doubt. I mean, you think about the games where Bayern have been behind and struggling against Dortmund recently. You know, he's been in the goals. You can't quantify how important it is when your back's against the wall to have somebody like that. Just to think, right, that got us back in the game, or that got us out of trouble. And they're going to have to cope without that for this period. But I get the feeling this 4 weeks might be a 3 weeks, and we might see him back. I hope we see him back sooner rather than later. But
I'm sure we'll be glad to hear that.
Yeah, but it's an occupational hazard, and it's a good job Jan's not got his boots ready, because he could have went and I think I'd have fancied him to outpace Choupo-Moting.
Go on, Jan.
Well, I could. Great record against Bayern, 3 games, 2 goals. So thank you, Craig, for reminding people of that. But what there are only big consequences on this. I think that the analysis has been good. This is the part of the game, and the paradox, of course, when you go away, play for your country, and you come back injured, there is every fear for every manager, even now with Corona, the going back for the with COVID. But, I mean, the big impact this will have is, of course, of that fantastic record of Gerd Müller. 40 goals, Robert Lewandowski, 35, 8 games to go. You were just certain that he would kind of get that record. Now, if this is into the plans now with 4 weeks, I think, like Greg, we talked about it maybe a bit earlier back, but still, that will make him 3 games to get those 5 or 6 goals. So it's going to be interesting. If there is one player in the world who can do that, is Robert Lewandowski. But it was a historic way. Maybe the best goal getter of all time, Gerd Müller's record, could be broken, but looks like maybe he will just still have the record.
Not only will he miss out on the Leipzig game and those matches against PSG, but also against England on Wednesday. That's the top of the table clash in Group I of World Cup qualifying. Well, just a reminder, as always, extra time available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Manchester City confirming this week that Kun Aguero will be leaving at the end of the season, and what an incredible time he has had at the club. Here to join us to reflect on that time, Ali Moreno is with us, as is Nedim Anuar. Nedim, you were at City when he arrived, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't say I was there for a long time, but I was around there at the time when Sergio was coming in and other players like that were coming in, and you could see that the club was changing its direction, because Sergio Aguero was somebody who you saw playing for Atletico Madrid and you heard all the noise around him and you believed this was going to be a great player, and for him to arrive in Manchester was, you know, that was a big moment for the team. And going forward, as we can see looking back in those 10 years, he certainly did quite a good job for them.
Ali, was that your dog upset about Kun Aguero leaving? Obviously, he went to the Premier League with so much hype around him, and yet he went beyond that.
And he was my dog, and yes, she's upset. Of course she's upset. And I think she's upset because this departure of Sergio Aguero, although it feels like it's time, it felt like it was coming ever since Pep Guardiola came to town. Remember in the early days of Pep Guardiola and Gabriel Jesus, he was always trying to shoehorn Gabriel Jesus as the guy who was going to be in front of Kun Aguero. Sometimes they play with two strikers, sometimes it was just going to be Gabriel Jesus. And what we saw is that Gabriel Jesus is not Kun Aguero. And clearly we have seen that time and time and time again, which goes to, I think, to paint a clear picture as to how important Kun Aguero has become at Manchester City, that you have a focal point in the attack, that you have a guy that you know with certainty is going to score goals and is going to deliver you wins after wins after wins, and in big moments score goals for you as well. There is a value to Sergio Aguero that I don't think can be understated, and the importance of what Manchester City was prior to the arrival of Kun Aguero and some other players, but in particular Aguero, and what they became soon after that, I think it says a lot about Sergio Aguero and what he has meant to this organization.
One of the best, yeah.
Yeah, he's in there with the conversation with all the top players of this era. You know, just looking at City alone, you know, David Silva, Vincent Kompany, there have been others that have served the club for years and years and years at the highest elite level, week in, week out. A player, when he came in, thought, you know, is it the party lifestyle? Is it going to last? When Pep comes in, as Ali said, is he going to... is he going to change his ways? Because we know Guardiola demands maybe even more than most managers on and off the field. And he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has been immense, absolutely immense for that football club, along with those other players that I mentioned. But we can talk about him with some of the all-time greatest in the Premier League. There is not a doubt about that.
Inevitably, when this was announced, there's one moment that you think of when you think of Kun Aguero and the Premier League. And it's a moment that you were literally on the pitch to witness, Nadim. QPR taking on Manchester City, so much at stake. You were battling to get safe. Meanwhile, City had to win to claim the title. Manchester United had won. And at the 90th minute, it looked like United were going to win the title. But then Dzeko scored, and then Aguero then obviously scored.
Yes, he did. And to hold my hands up here, the Dzeko goal, he beat me in the air and he scored. So I'm thinking, OK, I'm kind of ruining this for my team. And then for the Aguero goal, I was the last QPR player to touch the ball before he went in. So again, I was deeply concerned. But thankfully, from the perspective of QPR, we managed to stay up. And City won the game and, you know, they won the league. But to really tell you about the emotion of that particular moment, for me personally, as that goal went in, I was so distraught by the fact the ball went into the goal that I didn't even know who scored the goal in that moment. You've got announcers saying everything, but I was so lost in the moment. I didn't realize, and I just shut off for some days afterwards. And it was only maybe 4 or 5 days later that I realized how big the moment was and who the goal scorer actually was. And it seems crazy, but unfortunately, you know, on the field, we had the moment, but the gravity of the moment we probably didn't feel until probably a few days after.
But that's interesting. You say you shut down, Nathan, but you were safe in the end. QPR were fine. Obviously, it was Bolton who went down.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it's crazy because in that game, at halftime, City were winning 1-0 and Bolton, I believe, were winning elsewhere. So we were actually set to be relegated. So we went in at halftime. We were doing a big team talk saying we have to go out there and beat Man City at the Etihad. So you're thinking to yourself, OK, we've got nothing to lose. Let's go for it. But the odds are very heavily stacked against you. But as I say, we managed to win a game in the last minute the week before against Stoke City, and that was the goal which ultimately kept us up, because this game, for as much as we were a part of it, our participation didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, because City won and, you know, our result didn't matter. But I guarantee you, as that third goal went in, you look and there's probably half of our team are on the floor because we think we've blown it. Wow. And for all the joy that City felt because they've won the league in the last minute, for us, it was an equal opposite because we thought we got relegated in the last minute. But thankfully, you know, it didn't mean much in the end.
Nadim, on the pitch, you were in the commentary box alongside Peter Drury. And yeah, of all the games you've commentated, that's got to be up there, hasn't it?
It is, for emotion. This script went out the window so early that this should have been 4-0 or whatever it is, game done. Think about it. QPR were fighting, as Nadim said, for their lives. City were flying, they took the lead. Joey Barton got himself sent off, stupidly. So now they're down to 10 men. You look at the talent in that Man City side and they're at home, but then somehow QPR take the lead. I've never seen a swing, and I was there with Peter Drury for the Premier League on the World Feed. I've never seen an emotion like it, and you know, that last 20 minutes. City actually thought they had thrown the league away. Yeah. United had won at Sunderland, right? And I'd been saying during the commentary that the QPR had been defending so narrow and so deep because of the scenario that they lacked a physical presence. Then Dzeko came off the bench. That helped them with the balls into the box. Right, but then even when Dzeko scores from the corner kick and there's hope, I looked down from our commentary position at Roberto Mancini. He was on his knees on the chalk at the side of the pitch. His head, you talk about, his chin literally was on the floor, right? He'd blown it. They had blown it. It was amazing. And then I didn't realise till I watched it back, Aguero actually started the move outside when it got to like 30 yards, 40 yards from the goal. It was Aguero that started it and he flicked it into Balotelli, who got himself turned. Somehow managed to make his way back in amongst so many red jerseys from QPR. He took a touch away past the defender who dived in. He could have went down for a penalty, stayed in his feet, and then beat Paddy Kenny, who had made save after save after save. He beat him at his near post. And I honestly, Dan, having covered, you know, internationals, World Cups, everything, Champions League, I've never seen the emotion swing in a game like that. And of course, QPR didn't, as Nedim said, QPR didn't know they were safe at the end, but yep, on the pitch they didn't know, but the Mark Hughes and the coaching staff knew. The players didn't. They thought they'd blown it. And City, And it had to be him, Aguero. I think if that had fallen to Dzeko or Balotelli or any of them else, that doesn't go in.
Yeah.
The fact it fell to Aguero, the fact that he took that extra touch away from the defender, and then we know how well he strikes a ball to beat Paddy Kenny at the near post, who had made an unbelievable amount of saves. And Peter Drury, and I've been telling you this, one of the finest English-speaking commentators out there. I've never seen Peter so emotional, excited, and given the moment the correct words. Just, he encapsulated the whole game so well, and I don't think either him or I or anybody else on the ground thought it was ever going to pan out the way this was only going to this was going to be.
You're rocking up thinking 4-0.
Yeah, we're rocking up thinking, right, we know QPR are fighting for the lives, we've seen that, but they're going to get a couple of early goals, City, they're going to blow them away, the balloons will be going up, and then QPR will be reliant on what's happening elsewhere for the whole game. That is just not how it happened. And of course, to be down against 10 men as well for the stupidity of the Barton sending off was just immense. And then for the two goals to happen when they did, and the shot went to Sir Alex Ferguson's face at Sunderland, he thought he'd won it. That made it even sweeter for the City fans. Ferguson thought they'd won it. And then it was taken from him, just like he took from so many in his time as United manager.
It's just interesting what Craig said, Ali, about just that touch that Aguero takes that not many would have done.
Well, first of all, after the analysis from Craig and the participation of Nedum, this is my personal conclusion. It's all Nedum's fault. It was all his fault. He lost his man.
It is 100%.
This is what happened.
100%.
And now the legend of Sergio Aguero has grown, and it's all because of Nedum. This is who we should blame. That's first thing. The second thing is, yes, the touch, the quality of the striker, the quality of a world-class player, the understanding that in that moment, any other mortal would have just put his laces through the ball and hope that something happens. And yet he has the presence of mind of taking the extra touch to create the little bit of space that he needed in order to find the back of the net in the manner in which he did. Let's not forget what the moment was. Let's not forget the finality of that particular play. If he scores, they win. They win the whole thing. Yeah. If he doesn't score, they've blown it, as Craig just pointed out. So in the ability to slow everything down when everybody else is freaking out and he slows it down to the point to where now he's able to make a decision in a fraction of a second, that's what tells you what kind of player Sergio Aguero is.
And Nedum, let's not forget the significance of this is so huge because it was their first league title in 44 years.
Yes, that's exactly right. But it kind of sums up the whole thing because that's why they brought him to the club. And for it to fall to him in that moment, you know, that was part of the plan. But as I look back now, it's crazy really, isn't it? A league was won with basically the last kick of the last game that was in motion for that whole season. How things could have changed, how things could have been different if I maybe threw the ball to one of my teammates instead of one of theirs to start their attack for the third goal. You know, it's crazy, but Sergio, what he's done for Man City is beyond spectacular. To have had a player who scored 250-odd goals, of which 180 have been in the Premier League, that's elevated City to a whole new conversation. Because when he was coming in, previous top goal scorers for the club in the Premier League, you're looking at maybe 40 goals. But he is exceptional. He's fourth all-time. And that goal he scored is a huge goal. But it kind of sums up who he is as a player, who he is as a person. And he stepped up in those big occasions. And they're going to miss him, but the club are, again, at a whole new level now. And the person, whoever comes in, they're tasked with trying to bring the club to that next level again. And I'd love to see who that is, because they've got some mighty big boots to fill.
Nedum, thank you very much. We're going to talk about this, I'm sure, a lot between now and when he leaves the City. Just a reminder, you can check out all our latest videos on our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In Group E today, Belgium no problem thrashing Belarus by 8-0. A big win though for Wales, 1-0 at home against the Czech Republic. Daniel James with the only goal of the game, nice assist from Gareth Bale, would give them all 3 points. Let's welcome in, shall we, Shaka and Ali to the show. Where do we start? Belgium are better than Belarus, Ali.
Hey! Yes. Well, we had to really dig deep for that one. I think if you're going to take anything out of this game is the fact that Belgium is a very deep squad because it was full on rotation, and yet what you found is that Roberto Martinez's team has plenty of options. This kid, Jeremy Doku, playing on the left-hand side and then matching up through the middle in 1v1 situations left no chance for Belarus to defend. Then Trossard scoring great goals, and you're just seeing options everywhere from Belgium. And while you're seeing the options on the field, then you pan to the bench and you see what was available to Roberto Martinez if he wanted it, if he needed it, and it's De Bruyne, and it's Lukaku, and Dries Mertens. There's a lot of big names in this team and a lot of players that have something to prove coming up this summer in the Euros.
Meanwhile, Shaq, a genuinely good result for Wales, much needed as well, given their form coming into this. And as Greg was saying, that ball from Gareth Bale, something special.
Yeah, it really was. And probably the only moment of magic from Gareth Bale, and it came so simply. Gets half a yard of space, whips a cross in, incredible cross to big old Dan James. And in truth, if you're Welsh, you're wondering how you come away from that one with 3 points. If you're Czech, you're probably wondering the same thing. Because even though the Czechs were down to 10 men and had a man less for roughly half an hour, the Czechs were by far the better, even with the 10 men on the park. Yet still, somehow, they get nothing out of it, thanks to a clearance from Lawrence early on and then Rodon late. But the Welsh somehow got away with one there.
Is this a fashion statement?
A big win for what? What?
I mean, within 3 or 4 days, he's turned into an expert in the Turkish national team, and now he's wearing a set of bins on air.
I know, he likes it. He's got his
glasses. Has somebody told you that you're looking a little bit more suave and carrying a bit more gravitas with those glasses on? I mean, what's
Dan
the...
Dan told me I look intelligent with my glasses yesterday. He said, yeah. I look a whole lot more intelligent.
Yeah, well, that's not difficult, to be fair.
Well, that's a low bar.
Meanwhile, let's just confirm what happened in Group H today in qualifying. Croatia with a 3-0 victory over Malta registered their second win. Meanwhile, Russia lost against Slovakia by 2-1. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Group A, Portugal beat Luxembourg, coming from behind to beat them 3-1. Serbia with a 2-1 victory over Azerbaijan. Those two top the table. Frank, you were watching this Luxembourg-Portugal game.
I was watching because I wanted to see if Ronaldo was watching ESPN FC, because we talked about him last time, saying that he had to stop to shoot free kicks, and he had one free kick and he shot it, so he doesn't listen to ESPN FC.
Right, okay.
I didn't see it. What happened? Did he hit the wall or did he hit it over by about 20 feet?
No. I think the goalkeeper saved it. I think
the
defender. No, he was quite okay. He was on the side.
No broken ribs.
He was quite okay. But the good save from the goalkeeper. But nothing much to say about that. A shameful first half from Portugal, by the way. I thought Luxembourg was the best team in the first half, which is quite worrying for me. Just like 3 months before the European Championship, Portugal have to wake up. Because they are a fantastic team, they have very much and very good individuals, but they have to show it on the field, and they didn't do it the first half.
Big surprise, Turkey could only manage a 3-3 draw against Latvia. It really opens up Group G, doesn't it? Especially with the Netherlands and Norway both winning. Jan, a huge win for your boys.
It was a must win, Dan, because we lost 3-0 against Turkey. That was a terrible game. We were so soft in that game. We didn't win one tackle, created some chances, we look like a small under 21 team against Turkey. And tonight was a great night for us, as you've shown, Turkey giving 2 points away against Latvia at home. So this was a good win for us. The worrying thing for us is that Martin Ødegaard and Erling Haaland were two of the weakest on the pitch for us today. That is not a good sign for us. But Alexander Sørloth, like Craig Burley, what we're talking about when he scored that goal, Elyounoussi from Celtic, a great, great assist for him. And it was a deserved win. But going to Montenegro, they go Jovutovic, you remember him from Manchester City, now at Monaco, scoring goals for fun for them. So it was not the easiest game, but to get away for us with our young team with 3 points, this gives us a bit hope. Our next game is Holland at home, the Netherlands at home in September. So now the hope is there again for us.
Shaq is back with us. Shaq, are you watching Turkey against Latvia? How did that happen?
Yeah, well, it was on ESPN3, so it was one of the channels available to me here at home. And you know how much I've been praising Turkey over the last week, so I thought I'd watch them. And I have to say, for the praises that I've been singing all week long, they really were terrible against Latvia. Had the game fully in control against a Latvia who come into losing 2 to the Dutch and at home to Montenegro. And you can only put this down to complacency. The Turks played all the football, but just lacked a real cutting edge. And in the end, it came back to haunt them. They were simply awful at defending set pieces. And Latvia, I have to say, good value for their point.
Shaq has been singing the praises of Turkey all week long.
Yeah, Shaq out there in his power rankings.
What have I missed?
Oh, you've missed it all.
What have I missed in the show? That man sat every night watching DVDs of the Turkish national team. Of Shaq.
Of course.
I'll give you a call later, Craig, and fill you in. I'll tell you all about
wait.
It.
Can't wait.
Tomorrow sees the last round. Let me do the promo, yeah. The last round advances then at the Euro qualifiers. England against Poland, certainly one of the standout ties, as is Bosnia and Herzegovina, who take on France. Just to remind that England-Poland game is live on ESPN2 at 2:30. The rest of the match is available for you on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
If you haven't checked it out yet, be sure to have a look at detail here on Plus. Carly Lloyd going into a lot of detail, breaking down Christian Pulisic's performance against Sheffield United. Well worth a watch. We'll end, shall we, with the highlights of Costa Rica taking on Mexico today. Just the one goal in this game, and it would come for the visitors right at the end of this match. Chucky Lozano with a close-range header to give them the win.
I feel like we should get Seb Salazar on the phone.
Well, I'm...
Because he's a very big Chucky Lozano fan, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll talk about it, won't they, on the next edition of Football America. That'll be available on Thursday.
I'm absolutely positive that Chucky Lozano will get many mentions in Football America.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be available on Thursday. Seb
Guaranteed.
And Herc. Meanwhile, we'll be back tomorrow for more of this. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley with me in the studio. Frank LaBeouf joins us as well, as does Jana Agafyortov.
Craig, another casualty caused by international break. Why isn't players' well-being being put forward by all the authorities?
Sorry? What well-being?
Well, the fact another injury, all these games, no one seems to care about the players. They're just robots, just machines.
Yeah, good machines.
Well-paid machines.
Injuries happen. You can't. The only time there's a real issue if a player goes away injured and is clearly struggling and is cajoled into playing by his international manager and making the injury worse.
Yeah.
That's an issue. But if a player goes away fully fit, picks an injury up on international duty, it's a nightmare for coaches because phone calls have to be made and there's a lot of people unhappy. But it's part and parcel. And the years ago, they used to try and get around this by just telling players not to go on international duty, particularly for friendlies or for games against weak opposition. And then FIFA got involved, or UEFA, or everybody, and put hurdles in place that meant if a player didn't turn up and didn't have a genuine injury, could not play for his club.
Sure.
The next weekend or whatever it was. So it's not as easy just to duck out the internationals yeah. as it was, say, 20 years ago.
Frustrating for Lewandowski, frustrating for Bayern Munich, given that it was just Andorra, Frank.
It is, and I played against Andorra, and I was pleased to be there and score the final goal to go through. And
everyone
after that,
scores against Andorra.
Championship. Yeah. Did you?
No, I've never played against Andorra. I wouldn't even have turned up, Frank. It was a worthless game.
Yeah, but you know what? It can be a dangerous game. You can get injured. But it's sad. But again, as Craig just said, it's part of our game. You know, I'm not sure Lewandowski would have been happy if Bayern Munich would have said, no, you don't go to play against Andorra. Right. You want to play for your country. You love your country and you want to be proud of being with your national team. And I just want to answer to the question, if I may, about the well-being. The thing is, because of the statistics that we have now, people forget that in front of the television, what they have is players who are just human beings and not robots. And it can happen. It's part of the game, as Craig said. And you have to get that into your brain to understand the fact that you ask for performance, and the performance can vary because of the human being that you are watching. And people have the tendency to forget about that.
Here we go. Craig, would Harry Kane be the perfect Pep Guardiola type of number nine that City need right now? Is there a Aguero replacement ahead of players like Haaland or Lukaku?
Lukaku wouldn't even be in the running.
No.
But, no. I mean, I would... If my first choice would be Erling Haaland.
Right.
First choice.
Yeah.
For various reasons, but mainly his age and his quality. But, yeah, I just wonder if the ship is sailing for Harry Kane. He needs to get a move on, I think, in terms of a move. Yeah. For Erling Haaland, he could pick and choose whether it's this summer or next summer. But Harry Kane, I wonder whether a club will shell out huge money now for Kane.
29 this summer, isn't he?
Yeah, depending on the fee now. I mean, I think two or three years ago at 26, 25, 26, that's absolutely prime.
Yeah.
You've got another 5, 6, 7 years. That's good value for a club, you know, but 2 or 3 years maybe, 4 at a stretch, and he's had injuries. Now, I'm going out for all out. If I'm any club on the planet wanting a striker, I'm going all out for Haaland, and if I can't get him, then I'll look elsewhere.
Right.
Simple.
He's 28 this summer, apparently.
I got
that wrong.
But all right, okay.
Question to Jan. Which club do you think it's the perfect fit for Haaland, where he can dominate both individually and collectively?
To be fair, I've just seen Erling Haaland now play 3 times for Norway, Gibraltar, Turkey, and tonight Montenegro. And after those 3 games, there won't be a lot of offers for him because he felt he didn't score and he was taken off today against Montenegro. But a fantastic player, of course. And it's just a matter of which club could now in this summer, in this pandemic transfer window, find that money.
Which club do you think is the perfect fit, Jan, for him?
But he will play anywhere. I don't care.
Which club do you think is the perfect fit for him, Jan?
Which girl in the world is the best, Dan? I think that if you have a look at what I've always chosen, they always want going for development and how to develop Erling Haaland as a player. I can see him having the best manager in having a Pep Guardiola have a proven record to develop football players, but I don't think that would be the only thing. So, but if I should put something forward now, I would say then the perfect then would be Guardiola at Manchester City. But still, the most likely destination for him in the next season is Borussia Dortmund, and I have to answer that as well.
Yeah, we haven't done this for a while, Craig. How many signings are Manchester United away from title challenges or winners next season?
Okay, so a manager.
He's so predictable, that man. He's more predictable than what I'm aiming in the church.
Well, I believe Man United will not win the league with Solskjaer in charge. So a manager.
Right, manager.
A centre-half.
Right.
Bus driver.
A right-back. Because Wan-Bissaka, I think, defensively good going forward, not so good. At least another centre, yeah. Ooh. And if City sign Haaland,
right?
I don't know. Probably four or five again. Yeah, still a fair chunk, yeah.
A lot.
Still a fair chunk, yeah.
Frank.
A manager.
Frank. Frank, what is your favourite sport other than football?
Oh.
Fishing.
Ooh. No, I don't like killing
drinking animals, wine.
So I don't do that.
Biathlon.
That's not a sport.
Smoking.
That's a hobby. I like golf.
Yeah.
I like skiing. Oh. I do both.
Yeah. Cycling.
I would have loved to be a Formula One driver.
But
I didn't have the money for that first. But I was living close to Le Castellet in France. All the people who know that sport know where it is. I love all sports, but I love golf, and Craig knows that I love golf.
What would you watch, Frank? What would be the sport that you would watch on TV?
Ski right
Radio.
Now. I love to watch ski.
Isn't skiing a bit boring to watch on TV? It's just people going downhill.
No, I love it. And golf. It's you rest, you enjoy. It's mostly a nice weather, and you see fantastic shots. So, yeah, golf.
But what about Formula One boys this weekend? It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the technology, the drama, and everything. I think a lot of us are now, after that thing, we've turned into Formula One fans again. And this in Bahrain was a fantastic race.
Yeah.
It was great to watch. Great
Drive to Survive is fantastic. If you get the chance to watch it.
Exactly.
Very good, very good. Yeah, go on, Frank.
I just stopped a little bit to watch the Formula One since Damon Hill, you know, won the World Championship.
Yeah.
And the year after signed for one of the worst... another group, I would say, or team.
Yeah, constructors,
And it ended up finishing last. And I say, well, does it mean? It means that the engine, the tires, the car makes everything, and the pilot, not so much. So,
but this weekend, though, the Red Bull car was the quickest, and Mercedes still managed to win. So that is... an argument against that argument.
Jan, what sport for you away from football?
Happy to hear that.
I have today, boys, and I have to say, two and a half hours today, cross-ski country. As you see, I am in my cottage, quite alone, blue sky, and it was fantastic. One chocolate and one Red Bull, and I was through.
Oh, no. But what about watching, Jan? What would you watch away from football?
Yes, like Frank, I will love everything, but being a Norwegian, I love to watch skiing.
They've got weird sports over there. Norway, not skiing.
Oh, who's talking? Scotland.
Don't you toss the
guy. Scotland is flat.
Well, actually,
yes, Scotland. Who do you watch? What do you watch?
Tossing the caber. It's a caber, not a kyber.
Oh, okay.
Tossing the caber, which is now Scotland are not
darts.
Even the best at that.
He's watching darts.
No. There's an Englishman in the tossing racket.
Watching darts.
180.
So, in any particular order,
right?
Formula One.
Yep.
Golf.
Yes.
Rugby.
Yeah.
Any sport apart from soccer.
Oh, by the way.
Really. Unless it's
well
a big,
done. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Congratulations for the last win in the last second against France. Very good game from Scotland.
Yeah, France. Yeah.
Why didn't they kick it out, Frank?
France, I didn't see it, Frank, but France bottled it again. Wait, France had got a good team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Formula One's great. Yeah. I'm a huge Formula a One fan. But Stevie hates it. Why do you keep moving out?
Why are you bringing up Stevie?
Craig, what team? Craig, what team?
What?
In Formula One?
Oh, I'm fair to everybody, Ian.
Yeah.
I just like it when it's not been dominated by Schumacher and Hamilton. I want to see a bit more, you know, McLaren,
like
Red
weekend.
Bull. Yeah, anyway, we're boring everybody.
Okay, right. Final question. Has Jan heard of Conkers?
Oh, yeah.
Conkers, what is that? I need my glasses now.
No, Conkers. No, no. It's a game that we played growing up in the UK, but it doesn't seem to...
I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I saw this on Twitter. What was that all about?
So you have one conker on a string, and a conker is like a chestnut, and then another conker on another string, and you're trying to hit and destroy the other person's conker.
Okay, is that the favourite sport of yours, Dan?
That's my favourite sport.
You used to play it at school, didn't you?
Yeah, in the schoolyard. Yeah,
yeah,
I used to play it.
Brilliant. The answer is no.
I fainted playing it once.
Fainted.
Yeah, because you could have stampsies. If you dropped the conga, someone hit you and you dropped it. So I went to pick it up and someone stood on my finger. I still got a scar there. And then I started bleeding and I fainted.
So
what a hard man.
What are you like? What are you going to be like when you go for your COVID jab?
No, I'm all right with those things now because I give blood a lot sort of stuff. So that's okay.
Live on ESPN is Conkers today. Yeah.
Conkers would be good.
Better than this.
Yes, that's not difficult. That's it. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. More Conkers talk.